Trayapishtapa, the demigods. Urubayaha, one who vanquishes great fears. Saha, he, the personality of Godhead. Nrsimha Rupam, assuming the incarnation of Nrsimha. Kritwa, doing so. Brahmat, by rolling. Brukuti, eyebrows. Dumstra, teeth. Karala, greatly fearful. Vaktram, mouth. Daicha Indram, the king of the demons. Ashu, immediately. Gadaya, with club in hand. Abhipatantam,
while falling down.
Arat,
nearby.
Uro, on the thighs. Nipacha, placing on. Vidadara, pierced. Nakai, by the nails. Spurantam, while challenging. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead assumed the incarnation of Nrsimhadeva in order to vanquish the great fears of the demigods. He killed the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, who challenged the Lord with a club in his hand. By placing the demon on his thighs and piercing him with his nails, rolling his eyebrows in anger, and showing his fearful teeth and mouth. Translation responsibly. The personality of Godhead. Assume the incarnation of Nrsimhadeva. In order to vanquish the great fears of the demigods. He killed the king of the demons. Hiranyakashipu. Who challenged the Lord with a club in his hand. By placing the demon on his thighs and piercing him with his nails. Rolling his eyebrows in anger and showing his fearful teeth and mouth. Purport. The history of Hiranyakashipu and his great devotee son, Prahlad Maharaj, is narrated in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu became very powerful by material achievements and thought himself to be immortal by the grace of Brahmaji. Brahmaji declined to award him the benediction of immortality because he himself is not an immortal being. But Hiranyakashipu derived Brahmaji's benediction in a roundabout way, almost equal to becoming an immortal being. Hiranyakashipu was sure that he would not be killed by any man or any demigod or by any kind of known weapon, nor would he die in day or night. The Lord, however, assumed the incarnation of half man and half lion, which was beyond the imagination of a materialistic demon like Hiranyakashipu. And thus, keeping pace with the benediction of Brahmaji, the Lord killed him. He killed him on his lap, so that he was killed neither on the land, nor on the water, nor in the sky. The demon was pierced by Nrsimha's nails, which were beyond the human weapons imaginable by Hiranyakashipu. The literal meaning of Hiranyakashipu is one who is after gold and soft bedding. The ultimate aim of all materialistic men. Such demoniac men, who have no relationship with God, gradually become puffed up by material acquisitions and begin to challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord and torture those who are devotees of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj happened to be the son of Hiranyakashipu, and because the boy was a great devotee, his father tortured him to the best of his ability. In this extreme situation, the Lord assumed the incarnation of Nrisimhadev. And just to finish, the enemy of the demigods, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in a manner beyond the demon's imagination. Materialistic plans of godless demons are always frustrated by the all-powerful Lord. So this particular chapter is called Scheduled Incarnations. So Prabhupada discusses this again and again in his purports, and we were discussing this last night in our Bhakti Vedanta course also, that if an incarnation of God is not mentioned within the Shastra, within the Vedas, then we cannot accept the appearance of any personality as being God himself. It is very rare to see God in this world. If you want to see God, you have to go to the spiritual world. And that's where he lives, if that's your purpose. That is the purpose of all of us. That's why we are here. Because we want to see God. We want to know God. George Harrison said that in his famous song, which was sung on Sunday at the Ratha Yatra. I really want to know you. I really want to see you. So this is the desire of a devotee. We really want to see Krishna. We want to see God. We want to know God once again. So you can know him. And he wants us to know him. Srila Prabhupada has said that when you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take 10 steps towards you. So Krishna wants us to come back. Prabhupada would often say, he would often write, go back home, back to Godhead. Home is where we belong. It's a place that we feel the most comfortable. And back to Godhead means the place where Krishna lives. It's not this world. Krishna doesn't live in this world perpetually. He lives in the spiritual world. When Srila Prabhupada installed, I think it was Parashishwara, it was one of the deities. Then Prabhupada, he walked across the room after he installed the deities. He walked across the room and he sat on the Vyasasan. And the first thing Prabhupada said was, there is another world. It is the spiritual world. It is the world where Krishna lives. So there is another world. So if you want to see God, you have to go to that world. But occasionally, Krishna also comes here. Why does he come here? Fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he explains why he comes here. Three reasons why he comes. Satuna. Paritranaya. Paritranaya means I want to please the devotees. Paritranaya, Satunam. Satunam means the good people. Then, Vinashaya. Dushkrita. Dushkrita means the not good people. Vinashaya. Vinashaya means I will come and I will Vinash. Vinash means goodbye. See you later. Come again next time. Nice to meet you. Actually described, because when he comes to kill Hiranyakashipu, he doesn't do it the same way every time. If he did everything the same way every time, it might become a little boring. So there's always some, how do you say it, some... Yeah, twist to the plot. Or there's some variation. in the way he does things. He doesn't do the same every single time. It's not the same. He kills Hiranyakashipu every time, but doesn't have to do it exactly the same way. But describes in the Puranas, sometimes when he comes out of the pillar, but he's so big, right? When he picks up Hiranyakashipu, he's just in between his two fingers. You know, in the Bhagavatam, what we hear is that Nisringadev is a certain height, and Hiranyakashipu is not quite as big as Nisringadev, but there's, you know, they're kind of proportionate to some degree. But in some incarnations, he's so big, he just picks him up between two fingernails. And he gets him, and he just kind of goes with his fingernails. And then he can't find him. And he starts looking. Because he's just killed him. Just split him in half. But he's so small, he can't find the body. He's like that. And he washes his hands in the Ganga, in the Mandakini. Like that. So, Dushkrita Vinashaya means I will do away with them, demoniac personalities. And then Dharma Samstapanataya means I will protect Dharma. Samstapanataya means like make Dharma solid once again, or make it stay, make it immovable. Or make it fixed again in human society. So these are the three reasons why he comes. Now, Prabhupada points out that the last two reasons, Dharma Samstapanataya and Vinashaya Chadushkritam, Prabhupada points out in the purport that anyone can do that. Not anyone, but Krishna himself does not have to do that. He can send the representatives to do it. Just like the Pandavas. The Pandavas killed many of the demons. Krishna didn't have to kill all of the demons during his appearance. He had Bhimasen kill. Who did Bhimasen kill?
Dushasan.
Yeah, he killed Dushasan. Who else did he kill? He killed all the brothers, the 100 brothers. He took everyone out. Because he took a vow. He said, I will kill all of you. I'll kill all of you. All 100. So the other Pandavas left the 100 for Bhim. He took care of the whole 100 by himself. Who else did he kill?
Hidimba.
Hidimba. Who was Hidimba?
Hidimba was the wife.
Hidimba was the
wife. Hidimba was the wife.
Then who did he kill? No, there was a Rakshasa. Hidimba, right? Yeah, Hidimba was in the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rakshasa. Yeah, he killed the Rakshasa. Yeah, but there was a Rakshasa in the forest he killed. What was the name of the Rakshasa? Remember when they were traveling in the forest? Wasn't it Hidimba?
I think Hidimba was the wife.
I think, from what I remember, I can't remember because I haven't read it for a long time, but wasn't he killed and then he married the sister? Wasn't it? He killed the Rakshasa and then he married the Rakshasa's sister. Wasn't? So I think you're right. Wasn't her name Hidimbi? Yeah, not Hidimba. Why would you call a girl Hidimba? Why don't you guys get the facts straight? He's right, you know. What sort of a name is that for a girl? Hidimba. Right? Hidimbi. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? Right. So he's right. Okay. So Hidimba. I actually can't remember. I haven't read the story for a long time. But Hidimba, he was big Rakshasa. Big Rakshasa. He was eating people. Right. So they sent Bhima to fix him. Krishna doesn't have to kill all the demons. Sometimes the devotees do it on his behalf. Krishna likes that. He likes the devotees to do it. So then he went into the forest with a big cart of food because the Rakshasa was very hungry. He was going to eat the food and then he eats the person who brings the food. That was the system. And he says, if you do that, if you send me, I think it was every week or something, if you send me the food and the person and if I eat them, I won't eat your village. Otherwise, I'll come and kill everyone. So they made an agreement with the Rakshasa. So then Hidimba Bhima went in. It was supposed to be someone else going, but Bhima said, I'll go in. I'll go and speak to him. So he went in there. And then Bhima was eating the food. He took the card in and he started eating the food. One of Bhima's names is Vrikodara. Vrikodara means alligator belly. Or wolf belly. Means very hungry. I worship Vrikodara every day. He is very hungry. So he went into the forest and he started eating all the food. And while he was eating the food, he was saying, Hidimba, Hidimba, come here, Hidimba. And he was calling out to the Rakshasa. So the Rakshasa became very disturbed. He said, who is this calling my name like this? And he walked and he saw that he was eating all the food. So he became very angry. So he said, Rah! And Bhima didn't even look at him. He just kept eating all the food. And then the Rakshasa, he came up behind him and with his two hands, he slapped him on the back, came up to Bhima and he went like this. And Bhima just kept eating. He didn't even do anything. And then he became really angry. And then Bhima, he turned around, he looked at him and he grabbed him by the throat. With his left hand, and then he just finished everything off while he was holding him there. And then when he finished everything, he just wiped his mouth, he turned around, and he just went, and then they had a big fight like that, beating each other like that. And finally, Bhima just smashed him. I can't remember how he killed him. He used to kill people in very powerful ways, Bhima. If you read the Mahabharata, just like, what was his name? The general of Virat. What's that called? Kichaka. You remember him? Kichaka. Kichaka was the general of Virat. Remember they stayed with Virat for 1 year? They were hiding in Virat's kingdom. And then Kichaka was the general and he touched Draupadi. He actually kicked Draupadi. Draupadi, everyone was in disguise. Everyone was undercover. So he insulted Draupadi. But they were under, everyone was hiding, they're incognito, so they could not come out and show who they were. So Draupadi, she came to Bhima, and she said to Bhima, she said, do something. And then he said, okay, you go back to Kichaka, and he said, come and meet me tonight. I'll wait for you in my chambers. So Draupadi went to Kichaka and said, come and see me tonight. So then Kichaka, he came into Draupadi's chambers in the middle of the night, and he touched her. She was under the sheets. And then Kichaka he touched. But then when he touched, it wasn't wasn't Draupadi, it was Bhima. So Bhima stood up and he said, you dog. You kick my wife. He was infuriated. So they had a big fight. Right? And he killed him. And then after he killed him, he was so angry. Because Bhima would get angry. Like his anger went to another level of anger. After he killed him, he got his limbs of his body and he pushed them into the torso. So he got his head, his arms, his leg, just pushed it all in like a ball, and then he carried it outside the front gate of the city and he just left it on the front gate. Right? And he said, there's your general. Right? And then he went and took rest. In the morning, everyone woke up and Kichaka was just like, you know, on the front gate of the, like this. So Krishna doesn't have to kill all the demons. Sometimes he sends the devotees. Vinashaya Chadushkrita. So Prabhupada points this out. It's not just Krishna who has to do it. He can, the devotees can also do it. Dharma samstapanataya. The dharma doesn't have to be only replaced or rejuvenated by Krishna. Also the devotees can do that. Like that. But the one thing that the devotees hanker for is to have Krishna's association once again. So that is called paritranaya sadhanam. Only Krishna can do that. No one can replace Krishna. Right? There's only one Krishna. And that's why we're all attracted to him. There's no one else who is more attractive. That's what his name means. The name Krishna, what does it come from in Sanskrit? Krishna. What does it mean?
Attraction.
Yeah. Krish means like attraction, like that. Just like we say, one of the six qualities of bhakti is Sri Krishna Karshani. So Karshana means one who attracts. Karshana. Krishna means one who attracts. It means like steals, like I will take, like that. So that is what Krishna is like. He is all attractive. There is only one Krishna, and he is the only one who can satisfy everyone's heart and everyone's soul. And that is why we are all looking for Krishna. Just like George Harrison, he writes in the beginning of the Krishna book, he sponsored the Krishna book, the first, that's a whole story. Do you know the story? George Harrison, have you heard the story? When he, Prabhupada sent Shyama Sunda, one of Prabhupada's first disciples, and they made a policy from the very beginning that they would not ask George Harrison for money, because everyone was asking him for money. Right? So they would not ask him for things. So then Prabhupada wanted to print the Krishna book. So he said to Shyama Sunda Prabhu, he said, go and ask George for the money to print the Krishna book. And Shyama Sunda Prabhu didn't want to do it, because he didn't want to ask George for something, because everyone was always asking him for things. Prabhupada said, no, he will give, you ask. So Prabhupada insisted that he had to go and ask George Harrison. And then finally, when he went to ask him, they were having dinner. They went to George Harrison's place, and they were having dinner, and there was about six people sitting around the table. And Shyama Sundara, he said, George, I want to ask you for something. And then George went very tense, because he thought, oh, here it comes, you know, they're going to... And then what happened is at that moment there was a storm outside, and lightning hit the house, and all the lights in the house went out. There was no light. And then everyone was just when Shyama Sundara was just about to ask. Actually, I think he did just ask. I think he just asked. He said, you know, can you, Prabhupada wants to know if you can give money for the Krishna book. And then George was like tense. And then the lightning hits, the lights go out, and then everyone's just sitting there in silence for about 1 minute while it's all dark. And then suddenly the lights come back on. And then George says, well, after that, then what can I say? So he said, okay, how much do you want? He wrote a check and he gave it. And then Shyama Sundara gave it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was just... because Prabhupada knew he would give the money. So, George says in the very beginning of the Krishna book, when you read the introduction, he says, everyone is looking for Krishna. And it's a fact. All of us are looking for Krishna. Because there's only one person who can satisfy us. That is Krishna. There's no one else. No one else can satisfy our heart and our soul. It is only him. Right? No one in this world can satisfy. You can look, you can spend your whole life looking for the perfect person. You won't find them. Right? Look for the perfect man. Right? Does the perfect man exist? Have you found him yet? The perfect man who will satisfy all of your desires? Right? Have you found the perfect woman? Perfect woman who will satisfy all of your desires? Right? She doesn't exist. And the whole world's looking for it. The whole world's looking for it. Right? But it doesn't exist. It's not in this world. Right? There isn't a perfect man. There isn't a perfect woman. There's not someone who can satisfy our heart and our soul completely. Everyone can satisfy us to some degree. Right? Because we have some portion of Krishna's like opulences within us. All of us have to a degree. The jiva can have up to 78% of Krishna's qualities. So, you know, we can satisfy everyone to a degree, but not fully. Right. The only person who can do that is Krishna. And that's why he is called?
Krishna.
Krishna, yeah. Because Krishna means one who can attract, or will attract, or steals, or who takes, like that. So, Paritranaya Sadhanam, Prabhupada points out that it is only Krishna. Krishna has to come to satisfy the devotees. And he satisfies the devotees when he comes. Into this world, and then he leaves his leela or his pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada writes at the end of the third chapter of the first canto, Srila Prabhupada says that by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and by reading the pastimes of Krishna in the Bhagavatam, the pure devotees, you will get all of the same benefit as associating with Krishna himself. So Krishna leaves behind. People say, well, where is Krishna now? Right? When Dharma disappears, when knowledge disappears, he will descend. Well, it's not there now, so where is he? He is here in the form of the Bhagavatam. He leaves his pastimes so that we can relish them, we can read them, we can hear about him, and you can associate with him. And Prabhupada says you get all the same benefit as being with him just by hearing about him. It is called Lila Smaranam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. By hearing and chanting, it leads to Smarana. It leads to remembering Krishna. And then Krishna is in our mind. And what is the injunction that we're all told that we should follow? What is the overriding injunction for all the Vedic literatures and all the instructions? Yeah, always remember him and don't forget him. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of this Hare Krishna movement. What's it for? What's Ratha Yatra for? Right? So we can remember Krishna. What's that? Ultimately, that's what it is. Right? The whole point of the Ratha Yatra is to always remember Krishna, Lord Jagannath, and to never forget him. And that's what's happening. And that Lord Chaitanya, he would perform that Rath Yatra ceremony every year. And Prabhupada actually said, it was in, I think, London, at the London Rath Yatra. Yeah, the London Rath Yatra. So Prabhupada was dancing before the Rath Yatra. And then, after the Rath Yatra, Prabhupada said to the devotees, did you see Gaur Nittai dancing in front of the Rath Yatra car? And the devotees said, no, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, oh. But Prabhupada saw. Did you see them down Beaconsfield Parade? Did you see Gaur Nittai dancing before the Rath Yatra car? You didn't see them? Were they there?
Yes.
Did they come off the altar? He was there as well. Prabhuji has told us that Nityananda Prabhu was there as well. They Gaur Nittai, they came off the altar. They were dancing in front of the cart. Because the whole mood of Ratha Yatra is to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So that Katani Gardens is none different from Vrindavan. It is like the Gundicha temple in Jagannath Puri, or it is like, we could say it's like Vrindavan, the equivalent. Do you feel like a Vrindavan atmosphere when you're there? No. See, all these things are in our consciousness. This is a development of consciousness. What do we think when we're walking around the Rath Yatra festival site, the Village of Peace? What are we thinking when we're walking around? We're just thinking, I need something to eat. Or you're meditating on your body or your senses or whatever you're meditating upon. But if you're in spiritual consciousness, elevated consciousness, and that's what we're supposed to be developing, right, then eventually we should say, oh, this is like Vrindavan, this whole atmosphere. And Jagannath is here, right, and he is enjoying being with all the devotees. And Gaur Nittai are here, and Srila Prabhupada is there. And the holy name is there. And all the crazy devotees dancing in front of the stage until 9 o'clock at night, like some possessed people, like mad people. I saw all of you. You're all intoxicated. Jagannath go somewhere, then that place becomes the spiritual world, because Jagannath himself is there, the Lord himself, the deity is there. Now, if you read in the Lilamrita, one time, I think it was like 1968, they had Jagannath deities, the first Jagannath deities. Jagannath was like our first deities in the West. Just leave it close. So Jagannath, they were practically our first deities in the West. Lord Jagannath, Prabhupada had them first brought. Many stories about Jagannath. When Prabhupada first sent Jagannath to New York, Prabhupada at the time, he started in New York, and then he went across to San Francisco and LA, and he got the movement going there. And then he sent the deities of Jagannath, because he installed deities of Jagannath in Los Angeles, I think it was, or San Francisco. And then he had deities carved, and then he sent them across to New York. And Brahmananda Prabhu, when he first received Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, they came, and then he had them there. He didn't know what to do with them, because he'd never seen them before. So he thought you were supposed to put them on top of each other. Because in America, they have American Indians, and they have totem pole. Now, you've seen the totem pole? American Indians, you know, the first people in America, the Indians.
They carved them.
What's that?
They carved
them. Yeah, they used to carve. They had totem poles, and they put things. So he thought that's how the deities were supposed to go. Yeah, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, like on top of each other. They didn't actually do it, but that's what they thought. I think they rang San Francisco and said, what do we do? They didn't know. Yeah. This is how Prabhupada started the movement. Everything was begun from. The very, very first Jagannath. Yeah, Malati Mataji, who was one of the very, very first disciples of Prabhupada, she was married to Shama Sundara Prabhu. They were the first devotees Prabhupada sent to London. Mukunda Maharaj and Janaki, Jamuna, Guru Das, and Malati and Shama Sundara, they started the movement in England. Then, now Malati, she was down at one shop in Los Angeles or San Francisco, and she saw a little, like, kind of like a little figure in the shop, and she, how do you say it? I'm trying to think of a way to explain it. She stole it, basically. A five-finger discount, like that. So she just took it, and she brought it back to the temple, and she showed Prabhupada, a little Jagannath. You know, so she showed Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, where did you get it? And she said, oh, one shop. I got it from the shop. She didn't tell Prabhupada she stole it. And then Prabhupada said, were there others? And she said, yes. So she went back, she brought the others, Balaram, Subhadra, brought. And then Prabhupada said to Shamsa, he said, now carve. So then he carved the first Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, like the first deities in ISKCON. Back in the early days of ISKCON, Jagannath was everywhere. And in the very early days of ISKCON, everyone used to wear little Jagannaths around their neck. They have little Jagannath, like on a necklace, like on a string. Everyone, like all the new devotees, everyone had Jagannath, like little Jagannath. This is how our movement began. And then one time, you read in the Lilamrita, I think it was about 1968, then Srila Prabhupada, he walked into the temple, I think it was Frederick Street in San Francisco, and Prabhupada walked in, the deities were gone. You know, like Jagannath, Balaram. Imagine you walk in, they're not there. Right? And Prabhupada, where are they? And then one devotee, he was there, he said, oh, the devotees took them to the park. So they went to the park. Prabhupada said, take me there immediately. So they went to the park. And then the devotees, they didn't know, so they had Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra on a blanket. And everyone was doing kirtan. And they were all going around. And all the hippies were there, you know, on Hippie Hill in San Francisco. And everyone's like dancing around. So Prabhupada, so many Prabhupada, he said, okay, that's okay. And then he said to the devotees, don't do this again. You can't just take the deities, you know, whenever you want to, you know. You know, just take them and just take them down. Oh, we're going for a Harinam today, so we just take them down. It doesn't work like that. So there has to be a system of worship. The deities have to be treated properly. So these were all the pastimes that were taking place in the very beginning. And then wherever the Lord situates himself, that place becomes fully spiritualized. So Krishna appears in this world, right, so that we can have his association. Right? He appears in this Archamurti, in this Archa Vigraha, so that we can have his association. So that we can remember him, because we have forgotten him. We're in this material world now, we've left God, we've left Krishna, and we've forgotten Krishna. So he appears in the Bhagavatam, he appears in the holy name, he appears in the holy places, he appears in the hearts of great devotees, and he appears in the deity form, just to reawaken our lost love for him. Now in this verse, we're hearing about one particular incarnation. What was his name? Nasrimha. Right? So Nasrimha, he is also very important in ISKCON. Prabhupada, around about 1970, I think it was, he began the chanting of the Nasrimha mantra. Now every day in ISKCON, we chant the Nasrimha mantra. And Prabhupada said, if you learn one mantra properly, learn the mantra to Nisringhadev. We should learn how to chant that properly. Because this mantra is very powerful and it protects us. Ito Nisrimha, Parato Nisrimho. Parato means he is everywhere. What's the next line? Ito Nisrim Parato. Ito Yato Yamita To Nisrim. Bahia. Okay, Bahia. Bahia. Bahi means? Outside. Bahir. Nisrimha. Hridaye. Hridaya. Hridaya means? In the heart. Right? Bahir Nisrimho. Hridaye Nisrimho. You are outside and you are also inside. Ito. Ito means here. Parato means everywhere. Yato yato yamitato. Everywhere. Wherever I go. Yato yato, I go here, you're there. I go here, you're there. You can't hide from Krishna. Yeah, try it sometime. Yeah, that's good. That's the point. What is the point?
Prabhu, could you tell this lovely story about again in Mandan and the divided on Harinath and they got the corn or the woodlands?
I don't know that one, but I've been on Harinath myself where we've been pressured by people. I remember one time we were going down Swanston Street, Friday night, and there's about 15 of us, and then these 20 boys, they were all drunk, so right behind us. And they were louder than us. We were chanting Hare Krishna, like that, but they were louder than us. So every time we chanted, they just went louder, and no one could hear us. And we couldn't get rid of them. We kept turning around and saying, hey, please, just go away, and they went. And Korma Prabhu was leading the kirtan. So this went on for about 10 minutes. They just followed us. We couldn't get rid of them. We were looking for police to say, you know, please get rid of them. There was no police around. So finally, Korma Prabhu started chanting, Namaste Nadesh. And as soon as he started chanting that, they all just kind of started looking and then just walked off. Just wait. I'll finish the class. So Nisringhadev, he protects us. Bahia. Bahia means outside. And Hridaya. Prabhupada says you have to pray to Nisringhadev in the heart as well. Because he will remove everything that's in the heart, all the unwanted material desires. If you want to get rid of them, hands up if you want to get rid of your material desires. Careful when you start saying these things. I've done it before, many times. I've gone to the string and said, okay, take it all. And then when he starts taking it, I say, oh, well, this is a lot more intense than what I expected. What's that?
I want that back, he says.
Yeah, I want that back. Or you say take it, and then he starts taking it and say, okay, just slow down. Purify me, but do it my way. Just do it softly and gently and when I'm ready and like that. But it doesn't always work like that. Sometimes he does do that. He sometimes says, okay, you are what you are, I'll do it your pace. But other times he just says, okay, today we're going to speed everything up. Right? And he just rips in. Just like Mahaprabhu, he was speaking to Chankazi, and Chankazi, he had a change of heart because he was stopping the kirtan, and then he became very cooperative. And Lord Chaitanya said, what happened? And he said, well, last night I had a dream and a lion sat on my chest and said, if you do not stop harassing the devotees, I will rip out your heart. And Lord Chaitanya said, you had the dream? And he said, yeah. And he said, look, and he pulled his kirat up, and on his chest there were three lines like across the chest. So Nisringa sat on his chest, Chankazi's chest, and just went with his nails just to make three marks. And he said, if you don't stop, I'm going to rip out your heart. Chankazi, in the previous incarnation, he was Kamsa. So Nisringadev got on his chest and said, okay, that's enough. Otherwise, I'm just going to rip out your heart. So Nisringadev, he acts like this. So if you pray to him, if you go to him and say, Nisringadev, please, I want to get over my material desires, then he will begin to act. And he comes in with the nails. Tava kara kamalava reina kamadbhuta shringam dalita hiranya kashipu tano buringam. Buringam means like a wasp. He gets the wasp and he just goes, pulls it. So it means he goes into the heart and he just begins to rip. So bahi nisringa, when we're in trouble, we call out to Nisringadev. If we need protection, if we're being harassed by demons, then we call to Nisringadev. And inside the heart, if the demons are attacking, the demoniac propensity, we call Nisringadev. So for us, he is very important. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you cannot approach Radha and Krishna until you first approach Nisringadev. We're not on the level of Radha Krishna. It is beyond our perception at this point, fully. We can perceive it to a degree. But Nisringadev will help you. He will help prepare the field so that you'll be ready. So we pray to Nisringadev to protect us and to purify us. So when you're ready, in your own time, you go to Nisringadev and you pray to him. And he will protect you. He will purify you like that. But it's intense. Devotional service is intense. Burujan Prabhu said to me one time, he said, if you want to go back to Radha Krishna in this life, you have to go through rapid and intense purification. And that's what ISKCON's basically like. You know, I joined this movement to be peaceful. I haven't been peaceful since I joined. It's just intense. And every year it just gets more intense. It's a very intense movement. That. But all that intensity is purifying us so that we can one day get to Krishna. And this particular temple, it's called Malvan Mahaprabhu Mundir, it's especially intense. It's not like other temples. I've been to other temples. They're not like this one. There's some, but this is on the, this is like the, this is like the, how do you say it? It's like
be-all, end-all.
It's true. It is the be-all, end-all. It's the it's like when you're playing sports or something. You know, it's like if you want to play A grade, you know, you play B grade and everyone just kind of plays around. But if you want to play A grade, right, get serious. That's what it's like in this temple. Right? If you want to do service here, you have to get serious because the bar gets raised. Radha Balaba, they raise the bar. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed.
Two things, Prabhupada says. The other thing, sometimes you also know the other woods were following the devotees and they turned left to get away from them, but they went into a dead end street. And the Bala boys, the London Bala boys, they broke their bottle, come at them, what to do. They started chanting the Shunyu Dada prayers and they do. And they turned around and ran away. And then the devotees went, what happened to you? And a couple of days later, the police came around and they said, have you got a lion here at the temple? He said, no. He said, did you have a lion here when you went out chanting? No. And they said, well, we caught one of the Bala boys later on. And he told us that earlier on, after they bashed these other people, they'd been harassing Jews. And we cornered us in a line and they were about to attack us. And a lion was there. They all saw the lion, and that's why they ran away. So we're wondering, have you got a wife? So this is actual story, and it's written down here. So the bottle boys actually saw a lion, and then the police got the story, so they came around to see if you got a lion, which you're not supposed to.
You string it a Bhagavan, a key?
Yeah. I really want to tell you personally, I was in Sydney a few years back, and I wanted to drop some grains in the ocean. So I parked my car on the beach and landed across, and a very big ferocious red dog came in front of me. And I said, "Nothing to me," and he immediately ran off.
Thank you, Lord.
Stay there. Name is Lord Bhagavan.
And string it a Bhagavan, a key?
Yeah.
Any other question?
Pro as in devotees of Krishna, how do we understand this point where we are in trouble, we call out Narasimha and not to Krishna?
What's the question?
Like we aspire the devotees of Raja. And every time they have a problem, they call out to Krishna.
In Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is that?
Why do we call Nisringa?
Yeah.
We should call Krishna.
Krishna.
Yeah. When we're really... I mean, I call Krishna, I don't call Nisringa. When I'm really in trouble. You know, like one time I had a car accident, and the car started going off the road, then I said, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." So that's what I was saying. Like that. But the point is, you have to call out. You have to feel dependent on Krishna. So if you feel dependent on Krishna in that particular form, or, you know, it's up to you, whatever's in your heart. That's all you call. Yeah. That's all you'll call. You'll call Ram or Nisringha or Krishna according to what's in your heart. Like that. But sometimes, you know, when we're having a really difficult time and we're finding that it's hard to get over certain obstacles, then we go to Nisringadev particularly, because Nisringadev is Krishna, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he is Krishna in a form where he removes obstacles for the devotees. So sometimes you're worshipping Krishna, but you're finding it difficult to get to Krishna. So then you go to Gauranga, or you go to Nityananda Prabhu, or you go to Balaram, or Radharani, or Nisringadev. You go to certain personalities to help you to get to Krishna. Because like some of our gurus in our movement, I know one guru, he told me that he felt that, you know, he'd been doing devotional service for a long time, but still there were obstacles that he could not overcome. So then he started worshipping Nisringha, Shelagram Shila, to help him. So devotees go specifically to Nisringha to help remove the anartas. Is it okay? Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.